All right, we've got Fred now. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scooter. How you doing, man?
Good. I want to take just a minute and talk to you because, you know, a lot of people see this like crazy guy on stage and you're maniacal and you look like you have mental health issues and you're crazy behind the drums and it's all very, very entertaining. But there is a really soft, sensitive, insightful side of you. And that is really obvious in the writing of the song, The Avenue. And so since we're remembering Katrina 20 years later, let's just spend a minute talking to you about Katrina.
Shoot. What do you want to know?
Well, just what stands out in your mind as your first impression of what happened, and then talk about where we are today.
There's a million Katrina stories. My band had actually played in Atlanta the night before, so we were stuck outside of town for a while. I had managed to get back in because I had a friend who was a mucky muck with the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. So I got in town about a week later, and it was just surreal. It was bad. It was terrible. But I remember watching the news live on one of the news stations while we were stuck in Georgia. And I remember, because we had gone through like a 20 or 30 year period where the big one was going to hit. And then the last second it would take a turn or a dip, whatever the hurricane was. And we've survived that one. Okay. We got lucky. And then this one, and they were saying that the Monday morning, I think it was the day after it hit. And I'll never forget, it was like early morning, I saw like some guy who's on Canal Street sitting there saying, well, it looks like New Orleans has missed another bad hurricane, so, you know, it's pretty. But then again, like, there's all this water coming down Canal Street. What's that all about? And I remember at that moment, I went, oh, God. At that moment, I just knew. It's like, okay, the levees have been breached. It's over.
Yeah. And
it was rough, you know. I mean, to put it into just words is just, I just don't think it's possible, you know, to sit here and give you a soundbite that'll work. I think, you know, it's just, there was just a collective sense of just, you know, of just, what can I say?
Despair. I mean, it
despair.
Was,
despair. Yeah. Despair. Despair, because, you know, I didn't know exactly how the media worked back then as, you know, as I do now, just being subject to the last 10 to 15 to 20 years we've all been through, and just, you know, how, you know, they basically kind of hypnotize you into thinking whatever it is they want you to think. So
right.
You're glued to the news stations and it's like, oh my God, it's all over. Oh my God, it's all over. It's like, wait, it's not all over. It'll, you know, it's terrible now, but, and eventually somehow it'll get better. You know, we'll just pull up our drawers and, you know, just do what needs to be done. You know, we lost a guitar player over it. You know, we had a guitar player named Paul Sanchez who was in the band, and his house got wiped away. And it just kind of clicked off a series of events that got him to leave the band about a year later, which he needed to do. He needed to go do his own thing. He needed to be an artist in his own right. But it affected everybody, you know? I mean, when I had a house, I was living uptown at the time around the Carrollton and Claiborne area. And I remember thinking when I bought the house, I was like, okay, this, you know, the city floods every 30 to 40 years. I better buy something that's raised. And I bought something that was raised, and I just got lucky. You know what I mean? My whole street was flooded, but the water didn't come up. The water came up to my house, but it didn't come up until like right under the floors. So I didn't, you know, wasn't really that bad in terms of damage. I mean, I had to get a new roof, but comparatively speaking, I was very fortunate. But, you know, it caused a lot of upheaval. It caused a lot of, you know, there was a collective sense of just loss, you know, just, you know, I remember thinking at the time, you know, I was looking at the television and, you know, my neighborhood, they were flying helicopters around my neighborhood and gas lines were blowing up and houses were on fire. And I remember I just had this thought of just saying, okay, everything I have is gone. But everyone I know is fine. You know, my family's fine. But I remember thinking, and just that kind of acceptance of just like, okay, everything's gone. And I'll never forget, it was Eric Paulson from WWL-TV. He was a friend, and he, you know, a couple of days later, he went driving around in the neighborhoods, and he drove by my house and texted me. and let me know that my house was actually fine, you know, relatively speaking. It was like,
Fred, okay, can you hang on for just a minute? We've got some breaking news. So just hold on. We're talking to Fred LeVlow of Cowboy Mouth about remembering Katrina 20 years later. But let's go into the newsroom. Chris Miller's got some breaking news for us.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Scoop, but commuters, especially on the North Shore, will want to know that due to a wreck on the causeway, the southbound bridge is closed at this time. We'll let you know when it reopens, but right now you can't get southbound on the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway.
You know, it's a long way around I-25 to the Frank Davis, Naturally Nolan twin spans. It's a long way around to I-55 as well. So I no idea on how long it's going to be closed.
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, we'll let you know. Thanks for the update, Chris. Hey, Fred, let me take a break, and we'll come back with more. Let's just get a taste of the song, The Avenue. And I want to ask Fred more about this song and how it reflects just the spirit of New Orleans, and it... It really does reflect who we are. And as wild and crazy as Fred can be on stage, there is a very deep side of him, a poetic side of him that is able to even talk about a tragedy in a song and have it make sense. So here's The Avenue as we go to break, and I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back with Fred on WWL. This is Cowboy Mouth, Fred LeBlanc. The song is The Avenue. Fred, a tragedy like Katrina provides an emotion that inspires a songwriter like yourself. Talk about writing The Avenue.
I was very conscious about what I wanted to do. I didn't want to write the typical kind of New Orleans will be back again and party and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to write something that would be very dour and angry, right? And I just had this vision of... It was literally just a vision of me sitting next to a friend on a street corner, but the friend was the city of New Orleans, and the friend had just been in a really bad, bad, bad bar fight and been on the losing end. And I just kind of imagined myself putting my arm around this friend going, okay, this is really, really bad. This is really bad, but eventually it will get better. And that's kind of the mindset of where I was when the song hit me and everything like that. There's a lot of stories about this song and when we played it to audiences for the first time, but there's on YouTube, there's a live version of us doing it the first time that the House of Blues reopened when it was still, you know, like a thing down there. And it's not a video, it's an audio, but it's the first time everybody in the room has heard the song. It's before even we released it and we started with it that night. I remember that because specifically, that was Paul's idea. It's like, we need to start with this song. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So we did that, and you can hear people reacting to every single line. It's on YouTube. It's like Cowboy Mouth, The Avenue Live, House of Blues first. It was in December of 2005, and we were the first band back. We were the first band back after Katrina, and it was a sellout, and it was a great show, but... That was the first song we played. That was pretty intense.
That's a song.
We also did the song on Mardi Gras 2006 on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Yeah. I remember that.
Fred, as a songwriter, to get that kind of reaction from the audience must just be overwhelming and very comforting.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, we were all going through the same thing. I was just lucky enough to get the song. I mean, you know, every once in a while you get one that just presents itself to you as a gift and says, here I am. All you got to do is write me down and sing me. And The Avenue was just like that. It was just there. I was like, okay, there it is.
But I love your explanation, and I love the criteria that you use to do the song. And it really, to me, it's a great song. And you know, I think back on some of the great rock ballads and some of the heavy metal bands that were known for their heavy metal music. Their biggest hit was their ballad, their rock ballad. And I kind of feel that way about The Avenue. You know, as wild as Cowboy Mouth can be on stage, you know, The Avenue is that ballad that is just very meaningful.
Yeah, it's, you know, we were trying to do, we were putting together an album at the time, and we were trying to decide if the song was going to be on the album. There were some people in the band that liked it and some people that didn't. And I remember the producer we had, a guy named Rusty Cobb out of Atlanta. He says, I'm not from New Orleans, but this song moves me. I was like, okay, well, there you go. And whatever the idea or the emotion it was supposed to get across, it did.
Wow.
You know, even to people who didn't, you know, go through that. But I mean, you know, it's on the one hand, you know, I've said this many, many times, you know, I mean, we've done a lot. We've done a lot since. We have a new album that just came out. But honestly, if the only reason this band existed was just to be there in that moment, to have that song for that generation of people who went through that event, then, you know, it's completely worth it.
It's very generous of you to have that that attitude, seriously. So talk for a moment about the new album. It's an album of covers. Here's what I love. I love that Cowboy Mouth puts their signature on a cover, and you don't try to do it exactly the way the artist did it.
Hell no. It's an album that's called Cover Your Ass. It's available everywhere on all the streaming services. We're going to have a vinyl for it. John Thomas Griffith does a killer version of the Who's song, The Real Me. We do Can't Hardly Wait by The Replacements. We do a punk rock version of My Way by Frank Sinatra and Sid Vicious.
I want to hear that.
It's fun. The whole album was just fun. It came out of nowhere. John had an idea to do the album, and I was like, well, why not? And at this stage of the game, it's not about trying to get this thing or get this market share or this. Is it going to be fun? Yeah. Great. Let's do it. It's not going to be fun.
It's a great place to be in life when your goal really is to just have fun. And, you know, ironically, instead of trying so hard to make something happen, if you just go out to have fun, sometimes that's the stuff that really works.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's not fun. You know, there's easier ways to make a living. And, you know, I'm very blessed to have this band. I've been very blessed to have every single iteration of this band and every single musician who's been in this band. And, you know, at this stage of the game, you know, it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun.
Yeah. All right, Fred, I got to get to a break here. Listen, we'll talk again really soon. And let's talk about the new album, and I'll sample some of it on the show.
Take care, buddy. Love you.
All right. Love you too, man. Fred LeVault, Cowboy Mouth. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.